Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, October the 24th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And first today, a murder investigation's been launched following the disappearance of a man from Tunbridge Wells. 54-year-old Wayne Woodgate was reported missing a week ago. Well, we've now been told a body has been found in East Sussex and a 59-year-old's been arrested. Elsewhere, tributes have been paid to a Medway man who went missing after a night out after a body was found in Strood. Regan Phillips disappeared last Friday and the discovery was made near Morrison's in the town on Tuesday. Well, the 25-year-old's family have described him as caring and loving and say it's left a big void in their lives. A man who targeted several women and girls in Canterbury has been locked up. A court heard how Athiam Majak tried to grab the victims in the St Stephen's part of the city. The 20-year-old, who's from Downs Road, admitted 9 offences in total and has been sent to a young offender institution for 3 years. Now, charities are again calling for safe and legal routes for asylum seekers after 3 people died in the Channel. The boat they were on, which was heading to Kent, capsized off the coast not far from Calais yesterday morning. Dozens of other people were rescued. Well, I've been getting reaction from East Thanet MP Polly Billington.
It is sad news, and it's terrible that we still have the situation where we have criminal gangs exploiting people, and the results are that people end up dying in the Channel. I am pleased that we are starting to get things moving on having a border security command and giving the powers that border security command to be able to work with the security services to crack down on those criminal gangs. Let's be clear. They are gangs in every sense of the word, including organised crime. These people therefore need to be dealt with like organised criminals and use the terror laws as well as the organised criminal laws against them, so that they are really cracked down on and we no longer have this exploitation of and the threatened reality of the end of life of people in the Channel, which is deeply distressing for everybody. I'd also take this moment to pay tribute to the RNLI, who do so much extraordinary work saving people from the sea who end up in these appalling crossings and at the hands of these terrible gangs. The RNLI are absolute heroes, and we should be really proud of those people in our community.
Charities still calling for safe and legal routes. Just finally, is that something the government would consider?
We've always said that safe and legal routes is one of the key ways that we will be able to reduce the boats, because that will take that will significantly reduce the demand for the from desperate people trying to flee all kinds of conflicts across the world. Safe and legal routes are a reasonable way of being able to do things. Cooperating with our neighbours in France is also really important, and speeding up the process here. I think we need to, in the light of the budget next week, let's remember that last government allocated £35 million to dealing with hotel accommodation for asylum seekers. They spent £7.5 billion. Now that's money that they didn't have. And that's the kind of mess that we're having to clear up. So let's speed up that process so that we can make a clear decision about who should be here and who shouldn't. Let's make sure we're no longer spending money on hotel bills unnecessarily. Let's get those clear and safe and legal routes and crack down on the criminal gangs that are exploiting people's desperation.
Kent Online News.
Police are searching for a man following reports of a person indecently exposing themselves at a park in Tunbridge. Officers were called to an area behind the town's swimming pool near the river earlier this month. The suspect is said to have left the scene on a bike. A toddler's been taken to hospital and a woman's been arrested after a car collided with a pram in Thanet. Emergency crews were called to North Down Road in Cliftonville yesterday morning. A 39-year-old's being questioned on suspicion of dangerous driving. A person's been taken to hospital meantime after being hit by a lorry in Tenterden. Emergency crews were called to the High Street earlier, closing the road between Smallhythe Road and East Cross. An investigation's underway after reports a child was approached by a man near to a primary school in Margate. It's said to have happened in Nash Road, close to St Gregory's, as pupils headed home last Friday. The school's head teacher says the safety of children is their priority. Now, it's been confirmed today that single-use vapes will be banned by next summer. New laws are being set out in Parliament, meaning they'll no longer be able to be sold or supplied in England from the 1st of June. Businesses will have until then to sell any remaining stocks and get ready for the changes. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Medway GP Dr. Julian Spinks.
I am very happy that this is happening. I was a little nervous because obviously it was put forward by the previous government and then they ran out of time before the election. It wasn't in the manifesto for the Labour Party, but they have brought it forward after all. And I feel it's an important public health thing we need to do because of the fact we've got increasing numbers of children and teenagers vaping.
Do you think this will actually stop young people getting hold of these vapes and getting into the habit of using them?
Whilst it's not going to be able to stop everybody, it will reduce the number taking it up. We know from the days of smoking that when it was much more available, it was in machines and so on. Children got hold of it very easily and they got hooked and then they ended up as lifelong smokers. I think with vaping, we have the same thing. Even though under 18s actually are prohibited from buying vapes, they obviously are getting them, whether it's from friends or relatives or whether it's from shops who are selling it illegally. And these vapes are very much aimed at younger people. The flavours, the way they look, they almost look like sweets. Is all pushing a new generation of nicotine addicts.
And what are some of the dangers of vaping when you are that young?
The biggest problem we have is that we don't know the long-term effect of vapes. We do know that nicotine can have problems. Number one, obviously, it's very heavily addictive. It can contribute to things like gastrointestinal, cardiovascular problems and so on. And whilst it's nowhere near as dangerous as cigarette smoking and tobacco, there is some evidence that heavy and long-term nicotine use may increase the risk of cancers. So we really don't want to get people onto that sort of treadmill of endlessly taking nicotine because they're getting withdrawal from it, which then could lead to long-term health problems.
And what about for people who use vapes as a way of quitting smoking? Because obviously vapes are less dangerous than smoking cigarettes. Is there a worry that they won't be able to get hold of vapes so easily? It might discourage them from giving up smoking.
It should be that reusable vapes will continue to be available for over 18-year-olds. And if you look at the cost of vapes versus the cost of cigarettes, it's not a financial problem. But obviously, we don't want to discourage people from giving up smoking. And vapes are a good way of getting you off the cigarettes. But I would want people to take that extra step and perhaps get off the vapes as well.
Kent Online reports.
A shop in Dover has been banned from selling alcohol after a 16-year-old boy needed hospital treatment after being found drunk in the town. He bought a litre of vodka from Dillon's Superstore, which is also known as the High Street Mini Mart. A council committee's revoked its licence after concerns were raised by police. A bank on Chatham High Street has been vandalised for the third time this year. Windows and cash machines were damaged at Barclays in the early hours of yesterday. Police say there's no indication of an attempt to steal cash. The bank was previously targeted by protest group Palestine Action. A Whitstable man's been told his dog won't be put down despite it attacking several people while off a lead and out of control. A court heard the Staffordshire Bull Terrier Cross had bitten or scratched a man, two women and a little girl. Well, 61-year-old Anthony Flaxman from Long Rock in Swalecliff admitted being in charge of the animal, which must now wear a muzzle at all times. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. People with boats at a marina on Sheppey have been told they need to find somewhere else to dock as the site is set to become a new housing development. Land at Queenbrook Creek has been leased out for years, but that lease will come to an end next March. Well, people with vessels there say it'll be the end of an era. Our reporter Cara Simmons has been speaking to Gareth John, who runs his business from the site.
So I'm a commercial charter skipper. Mm-hmm. I run charter tours, fishing, bird watching, wildlife, and I do some commercial work as well. I've got lots of bookings, booked most days of the week. The only my biggest enemy is the weather. Mm-hmm. Obviously. And I've been in this yard more than 15 years now, I think it is. just about more than 15 years, yeah.
Wow.
So to lose this facility, for me, it's going to be a great loss. I'm here probably more than anybody else. And my boat's busier than any other boat in the marina. And as Jeff said to me, he said, well, you're the busiest boat in the marina. He says, you can have the best berth. So I have. I've got the best berth in the marina.
I know. And what are your options then for when it comes round to March? What's your plan of action?
Well, I'd like to stay local. My name is down for the Yawtide Landing, but there's a few problems out there, in as much as it's a lot of money out there, and I've got to justify that anyway. And the other problem is it's like you've got to wait for someone to die before you get out there, and that's not going to happen. So I don't think that's going to really be good for me anyway. The other option is I can go to Rochester. I've definitely 100% got a berth in Rochester in a boatyard up there, which is really lovely, really friendly, very similar to what we've got down here. But it's the distance. That's the problem. Rochester to here is 13 miles. So I'm doing 26 miles a day up and down before I've even picking up my customers from here. The other option is we might possibly, hopefully, be getting some berths with a local businessman who's going to put some berths in, some pontoons in, and accommodate us, hopefully. Can I name him? Joe?
Yeah, yeah. Nick, no, Nick, Carla knows, yeah. Nick, he even knows that Carla's expecting
right.
a call from
him. So Nick Murray, I've known Nick for many years, and obviously when we got told about we were going to get kicked out of this place, obviously we had to get rid of loads of the pontoons over here. Nick took a lot of the pontoons, and I got rid of a load with Jeff and Joe, and we cut them up and scrapped them, ones that were no good, they're gone. And the ones that Nick's got, I think that's what he's going to be using to refurb them and give us a facility here, which will be great, absolutely brilliant. Obviously, I don't think it'll be as nice as what we've got here, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be 26 miles up and down, is it?
Yeah, that's a long trip for you, and you've got to think about the business side of things, the cost of the fuel.
What's the time, the fuel? As well as that, you probably know that the Medway area is prone for fog. Now, if we get fog, the Medway is just rammed full of fog. Sometimes it could be from here up to Rochester, chock-a-block full of fog. But here, it'll clear quicker. So if I'm fog-bound, obviously, like, I've got radar, and I can navigate it, but I don't really want to. Yeah. You don't go out if you use it to get back, but not to get out.
Joe Frey is the marina manager.
In here is the marina. We've got water, we've got electricity, we've got toilets, we've got pontoons. So people can drive down to the car park. They can get onto their boat from a pontoon, which is all very, very safe. So that's the only facility on the island where people can do that. And so the option out in the harbour, if they can't get a place on the Yawtide Landing, and there's only there's only a handful of berths on the Yawtide Landing, and so you're more than likely to get a swinging mooring, where you have to get a dinghy out to your boat or the trot boat out to your boat, and then you've got to get from the trot boat or the dinghy onto your boat. And for a lot of the people here, they're older people, and that's not possible. Not possible.
And do you find, obviously, you had to tell everyone, what was their reaction when they first
so they've we've been going through this for 10 years, over 10 years, 10 to 15 years. So it's nothing has ever come as a shock, because we've kept people informed all the way through for a whole decade and longer. So they all know that at some point everything's going to go. But it's like Gareth said, it's like for the last few years we've been on death row, and we had to fight for our last lease, and then we got an extension on the lease, and then this year there was no more extensions. So this was the final year. So, yeah, everybody's, I think everybody thought, because it had gone on for so long, they all thought it was going to carry on going on, and we would carry on getting an extension to the lease. And now it's happened. We've been told categorically there is to be no more extensions to our lease.
So we've been given an end date. So we've been given our execution date.
And what date is that?
So all the boats have got to be gone by the 31st of March 2025. And then I've got 6 months to get rid of the pontoon.
Now, the site is part of the Queenborough and Rushenden redevelopment project. £400 million is going to be spent on building 1,100 homes and up to 2 million square feet of commercial floor space. We're told a new school and marine-related activities are also planned.
Kent Online reports.
A Poundland worker who died a day before his 60th birthday has been described as a Canterbury icon. Robert Taylor passed away unexpectedly earlier this month. His family say they idolised him and he was the best granddad. An Ashford nursery that closed following the choking death of a baby could be turned into a special needs school. Chilli Beans in Park Farm closed in 2021 and now an application's been submitted to convert the buildings. The site currently has 6 classrooms and could cater for up to 70 children aged between 7 and 16. There's a warning today about animals being disturbed at nature reserves in Kent during half term and ahead of Halloween. Kent Wildlife Trust say cows have been chased by teenagers and broken glass has been left behind from illegal parties. The charity is also urging us not to dump used pumpkins in the countryside. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Nina Jones, who's an area warden.
I think quite often people assume that as we sort of enter the colder months, that we'll start to see a kind of reduction in people visiting the countryside or maybe our coastal reserves, and therefore we'll see less antisocial behaviour. But actually, unfortunately, that isn't the case, particularly around Halloween and bonfire night. Of course, people are kind of going to find places where they might be able to let off fireworks or maybe to have a party or maybe to have a wander around in the dark. And unfortunately, what that results in is actually kind of damage to some of our habitats on some really vulnerable wildlife reserves. It can result in the scaring and disturbance of actually some very vulnerable wildlife, including birds that might have migrated, you know, a few thousand miles to get here for winter. And of course, we've got livestock on a lot of our reserves as well, which can get scared by people, particularly at night, who might be in places maybe they shouldn't be, or maybe they're not aware that there's grazers such as cows and sheep around as well.
Yeah, and tell me about some of the incidents you've had recently with people disturbing wildlife and just causing a general sort of nuisance at these nature reserves.
Yeah, so I mean, you name it, we've had it going on. You know, that can include kind of illegal parties with you know, glass bottles being smashed up, which of course they're a danger to our livestock, to wildlife, but also to dog walkers as well. We have unfortunately had teenagers chasing some of our cattle on a few of our reserves, letting off fireworks in some places that they shouldn't have been done, which can actually result in some of our grazers actually having like long-term trauma due to that experience of the loud noise in close proximity, and you know, damage to some of the infrastructure on our sites as well.
And it's half term at the moment. Some schools are off this week, some are off next week, some have got 2 weeks off, but general sort of half term time. Is that kind of an issue as well with more teenagers maybe out and about?
Yeah, of course, you know, they might have that time in the evening, which they wouldn't do during term time. And, you know, of course, around Halloween, they might like to explore some of our reserves in slightly more remote places. So, yeah, I think certainly around this time of year, people are looking to kind of make the most of Halloween. But there's obviously there's ways that you can do that by, you know, enjoying having a party in your back garden, maybe going to a public firework display rather than letting off your own fireworks, which, you know, increase the number of loud noises we have going around the countryside this time of year. And something else that we ask people to do is not to leave pumpkins after Halloween in the woods, you know, on reserves. Put them in your compost bin. You know, they're not something that we would find naturally out in our habitats, and they leave, you know, a kind of rotting mess that it isn't suitable for wildlife to be utilizing as food. So There's actually lots of ways that families can enjoy Halloween on our reserves. You know, we have events going on in the next few weeks. But we do ask people to think about the way that they are behaving on site. And like I said, you know, some of our coastal reserves have got some really vulnerable bird life at the moment that need lots and lots of space. And peace and quiet, which I think we all look to find when we go to nature reserves, and we hope that everyone can enjoy, you know, our wild spaces as well as wildlife.
And finally, two lions hand-reared at an animal park in Kent are starting a new life in South Africa. Zemo and Zala were kept alive by Howlett's owner Damien Aspinall and his daughter Freya after their mum died last year. Well, Damien's posted a video on social, says they've now been taken to a sanctuary 6,000 miles away.
It's a big day and I have mixed emotions about it. I'm very happy, obviously, that they're going to take their chance and have a chance to be rewilded. But I'm sad to see them go because I'm so used to spending time with them. And I'll spend a lot of time in Africa with them, obviously. But I'll also miss them when I'm here at Howlett's.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and former England wicketkeeper Geraint Jones is returning to Kent as an assistant coach for the women's team. He'll support James Hockley, who takes on the head coach position next season. Richard Durrant will also stay on working with the side, with Megan Belt remaining as captain. Lucy Armand takes on the role of the county's very first head of women's cricket, and she's been speaking to the club's media.
It's really exciting to actually be the first ever head of women's cricket. And I think with the new structure for women's professional cricket, with our tier system and Kent now being a tier two women's professional team, I'm extremely excited to take on this role. For me, I think it's looking at the now and how we build on what Dave Smith has put in place over the last couple of years. And he's set an extremely fantastic foundation. And I think it's how we now build as a tier two women's team to be the best we can this year. My vision for this year is how we create a very experienced coaching team. We give the women exactly what they deserve as a whole club. And for me to come into this role, I'm excited to start building on professional standards for our women's team. For an example, getting them to play at our ground, at the Spitfire Ground at Beckenham, giving them more training time, having more branding and commercialization for our women. And just to bring back what it actually means for our women to wear a Kent cricket badge, I think that's my short-term vision for this year, and continue creating a really talented pathway that the girls coming from under 12s have inspiration from our women's team.
And staying with cricket, Kent's Zach Crawley's already been bowled out in England's final test match against Pakistan. He scored 29 runs in their first innings in Rawalpindi. The series is currently level at 1-1. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.